you guys. Look, I made a little intro video.
Yeah.
Hopefully there was sound on it. Yeah. I don't know if it was or if there was or not. But
there was sound on it when I saw it.
Oh, okay. There was?
No, I mean, when you showed it to me.
Oh, well, yeah, but that's
not... I don't have
not...
my speaker on, so I can't tell.
That wasn't on the stream. I wasn't sure. But it's got, like, little music on it.
Yeah.
Nico says, any word on the cookbook? I haven't been active on the videos for a bit. I'm actually on the very last section. So all I have to do is do one more short section, and then we're going to do a quick photo shoot, because I need some pictures of him, like, in his chef jacket and stuff that I want to, like, insert in there, and then it should be done.
And then we're going to put some of the CAD in there, too. Yeah, the thing is, I want to also go over and proofread, make sure, not proofread, but just make sure that everything is easy to read and use. You know what, though? I was thinking, maybe I shouldn't get into something like that. I was thinking about maybe putting a section at the beginning about shit like knife skills and preparation, but...
Well, you could put that in the introduction, because I have space for an introduction, and we haven't written that yet.
All right. Okay. Yeah, because people need to, you know... Although, you know, that's on the individual cook, whether or not they want to learn how to develop knife skills, and you can go online to see how to learn that stuff, like how to dice, how to chop.
I mean, don't feel like you have to put every single thing in this book. Like I said, it's kind of like our take on stuff, recipes we make all the time. Recipes we grew up with, stuff like that. So, you know, kind of specific to us.
I want a big part of cooking is physicality, physical skills, regular kitchen skills. And it really pains me sometimes to see a home cook struggle with tools or to do things out of order, like not picking a pot up and moving it in a certain way. You know what I mean? To pour. There's just weird things that non-cooks do that drive professional cooks up the fucking wall. It's just like, no, that's not how you hold a knife. You know, that kind of shit. You know,
stop it.
Yeah, you're gonna cut your fucking fingers off, you know. It's just shit that they do, you know. But that's on the cook. I'm just gonna leave that mostly on the cook.
Yeah, you can't take responsibility for everybody cutting their fingers off.
Right. And and that's a subject unto itself, how to develop all those skills.
Yeah.
And if you're a grown person and you don't have those skills yet, then there's a problem. That usually means that you're not cooking enough. And you may not be interested in this cookbook. I don't know. Depends. I don't know how normal people operate, really. I do what I do. I don't really know what y'all do.
I do what I want.
Yeah, I do what I want. Yeah. No, I was made to do that shit. Because I grew up in fucking kitchens. You know, when I was in high school in Michigan, I was working at fucking... At a bar and grill down there, and the grill was fantastic. And the two cooks that worked in there were like little Gordon Ramsay motherfuckers. They were mean.
Gordon Ramsay.
Yeah.
This big?
No, they were young, you know. They were actually guys in their 20s and 30s, but from my point of view, they were older guys. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And they made good money, and they were really good at what they were doing. I didn't realize, it wasn't until later when cooking became real corporate, where they're buying shit from fucking Cisco and shit pre-made and everything. You know, that corporate is that shit. They're not cooking.
Well, they're just heating stuff up.
Yeah, they're heating shit up.
I started off
washing dishes, and then a couple months later, I'm in there making salad dressings, and we made salad dressings from fucking scratch, and then making desserts, fucking custards, and then fucking... pastries and bread, and then you start graduating up to dealing with fucking deep fryers, and you know, and so you had to work your way up from the bottom, and I learned real essential skills that were real old school. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You don't just, and it makes a big difference. It makes a big difference in what comes up. Like a store-bought salad dressing just doesn't, like say for a store-bought blue cheese, that just never, like from Kraft, that'll never compare to fucking scratch-made blue cheese dressing.
Yeah, just, and that's the thing. It's like sometimes it's okay, it's good enough.
Yeah, it's fast and easy, but that's
not
the
and
real
thing. The thing about it is like it's not even so much that, because it has to be shelf-stable, so it has to have like a lot of stuff in it that keeps it from, you know, going bad too fast or whatever. So it's like there's stuff in there that if you made it fresh, it wouldn't be in there. So
yeah, all those like stuff like blue cheese and ranch and shit like that, it's a specific ratio of sour cream and mayonnaise, and then it's seasoned, and then you're adding shit like crumbled blue cheese into it, and there's just nothing pre-made that's ever gonna fucking compare with that. It's thick, it's cool, it's real cool and cold when it comes out of there. It's almost kind of like cheese flavored fucking ice cream. That's how rich and creamy that shit is.
What's just cheese flavored ice cream?
Yeah,
man.
That
sounds good.
There's nothing like the real thing.
Like, it sounds gross, but also kind of good. Just,
well, when it goes on the salad, you know, depending on what kind of lettuce and everything, it's just the texture of it is just, you know, nothing out of a damn bottle is going to compare with it.
Yeah.
It just doesn't happen.
Nope.
So, let's see what everybody's saying.
Yeah, that's why because here's the thing, like I said, we're still going to do matinee shows, yeah. But we can't, because last night I was like, well, do you want to watch a new movie and talk about that tomorrow? Or do you want to talk about more food? And he was like, well, I'm kind of tired. I don't really feel like watching a couple movies. So he's like, well, we'll just talk about pizza tomorrow. Mm. Now, we didn't actually make pizza today. Today, we made brisket.
Yeah, I made brisket.
Well, actually, last night, because he put it on and let it cook all night.
Yeah, I cooked it for 12 hours.
Yeah, it cooked for 12
Big
hours.
Big old brisket.
It just like fell, it's like butter.
Yeah.
It fell apart. You didn't even need it. So we were trying to eat it with a knife. I said, shit, you don't even need the knife. You can just pull it apart with a fork. And it was delicious.
Yeah, I got a big old beef brisket.
Yeah, it's a slab.
Slathered it with, well, first of all, I took Gravy Master. I would have taken liquid smoke, but I didn't have any. Took Gravy Master and fucking put it in and brushed it on there, on the outside of it. Let it sit for a bit. And then I slathered the whole thing with French's mustard, and then put a bunch of cracked black pepper over it. Just let it sit in there, and then cooked it. Put it in a pan, covered it with tin foil, cooked it 12 hours at 220 degrees. It came out real good.
Yeah, you put it on at like 9 o'clock last night and took it out a little before 9 this
morning. The fat just fell off of the outside of it because it was kind of a fat, you know, brisket's kind of fatty, but then what was left is that real nice.
That'll make some good sandwiches.
You gotta cut
later
it the
too.
Right way. Yeah, you gotta cut it the right way. It's just like roast beef, you know, real good.
Yeah. Tila's asking favorite pizza toppings.
Oh, man. There's a lot of them. Fresh mushroom.
Yeah.
Pineapple and ham. There was a barbecue way of doing barbecue pizza. I haven't done a long time ago. Got to go back and look at it. It's like a barbecue meat lover's pizza. There's a way to do that. But that none of that shit's traditional. That's all bullshit we came up with here. Italian type toppings are really, you know.
I honestly, I like sun-dried tomatoes on mine. I don't like a lot of meats. If it, you know what, when I was growing up, my favorite pizza when I'm growing up, and if I can still find it sometimes, we had this tiny little hole in the wall pizza joint near where we grew up in Daytona. And with, you know, when I was a kid, they didn't have delivery really. So you had to go and pick it up. And what the fuck was the name of that place? Pantheon. I don't even know if it's still there. But they did a fantastic hamburger and onion pizza. And it wasn't like spicy sausage, like Italian sausage or anything like that. It was just like hamburger with a little bit of like maybe salt and pepper or whatever. So it wasn't like real spicy meat. But so it was like hamburger with like, you know, onions on it, like sauteed onions. And that shit was delicious. But other than that, I'm not a big fan of, I'll eat meat on pizza. You know, I'm not picky. I'll eat pretty much anything on pizza, but if I'm, you know, left to my own devices, I tend to like more vegetable. I like mushrooms. I like peppers, sun-dried tomatoes, Roma tomatoes, banana peppers, that kind of stuff. Like, I like all that kind of stuff on pizza.
Okay, we're going to talk about pizza.
Yeah, let's talk about some fucking pizza.
I have a section in the cookbook about pizza. Pizza has rules. All right.
Pizza has rules.
It's got rules. If you break any of these rules, you're going to fuck that pizza up. Okay. Where am I going to start? First rule of pizza is that making your own dough is the key. If you go down there and buy a pre-made piece, I mean, I've done that kind of shit. You're trying to make something real fast out of nothing. You know what I mean? You got to have a pizza stone. That's the first thing. Here's the first rule to cooking pizza. You must have a stone. Pizza stones can be had in different ways. They'll sell it as a pizza stone. It's round. There are also certain kinds of tiles that you can get that are stone tiles from people put them in floors. And if you cut them the right size, you can actually line an entire oven rack with stone. But you got to know what you're doing. You got to have good peel skills. All right. So you need a stone. Pizza cooks by induction, all right? In other words, you have a hot surface and you place a cold dough on top of it, and the heat from the stone is sucked directly into that dough, making it crispy and chewy. If the temperature is wrong, the texture will be fucked up. You must cook at least 500 degrees. The best is about 550 to 600, but some ovens don't go up that high.
Ours only goes to 525.
Yeah. Some of the best pizzas are cooked in fucking ex-kilns where they used to fire like porcelain stuff so they can get close to like 700 or 800 degrees. As the cooking temperature goes up, the cooking time goes down. So at 550 degrees on a hot stone, cooking time on a thick on a pizza that's fully loaded with stuff, about 15 minutes, between 12 and 15 minutes. If it's 700, 800 degrees, it might only be 5 minutes, but you get a feel for it yourself. So when you're making a pizza, most of the cooking time is trying to heat that stone up. So that stone might be in that oven for an hour before it gets up to 550 degrees. But you're only going to be cooking for 10, 15 minutes, so it's not all that fuel inefficient. So once the stone's hot, sometimes that's the time to do pizza party. If you want to do 5 or 6 pizzas, that's the time to do it. You know?
Yeah.
Because most of the energy was in heating that stone. Okay. Another way to do it. Now that's the best way to do it at home. I'm not going to talk about cooking on wire racks. That's something that, you know, like in a big high volume restaurant pizzeria. Wire rack is another way to do it, but we're not going to talk about that for the home. Home ovens don't really get hot enough for that. So you have to get your pizza stone. To get the pizza on and off the stone, you're going to need a thing called a peel. And a peel looks like a snow shovel. It's a big old flat piece of metal with a long handle on it. And you need to develop the skills of picking up a rolled out round piece of dough, picking it up and getting it on the peel, and then flinging it back off the peel. There's a bunch of tutorials and stuff online that'll tell you how to do it. To get a dough on and off a pizza peel or on and off of a surface, the dough has to be strong enough to work with and hold together, but it can't be wet and sticky.
Yeah, everything has to be floured.
Everything has to be floured, and you have to have cornmeal as a lubricant to get things off and on the peel. Okay? If you can't develop these kinds of skills of working with a peel and a stone and high temperature and how to make dough and deal with dough with your hands, your only other option is a cast iron pan and making a pan pizza, which that's in the book too. So if you don't have these fucking equipment that I'm talking about, which is it's an investment, you don't have the peel and the stone, you're going to have to get you a cast iron pan, which that's not cheap either. A good cast iron pan's over $100. Okay. In that one, you put the dough in the pan, you push it all out. You might have some cornmeal and oil in the bottom of the pan so it doesn't stick. You make sure it's the right thing. Then you start putting your sauce and your toppings and your cheese.
Yeah, you're making like a deep dish, essentially. Like a deep dish pizza. Yeah.
And you put that in. Now, the temperature isn't as high on that. Probably about 450. Cooking time's a little bit more, maybe about 15, somewhere between 15 and 20 minutes. And that'll give you a pan.
Depending on how much shit you got.
Depending on how much is in. The more toppings on the pizza, the more the cooking time. Okay. Now, the enemy of pizza is water. All right. The sauce has to be a tomato sauce that's reduced slightly to have as little water in it as possible. Okay. The toppings have to have as little water in them as possible. One of the big culprits is mushrooms. Fresh mushrooms, when they cook, release water. That water will be released on the pizza. If you have a whole bunch of mushrooms on that pizza, it'll swamp. Yeah, it'll release that water and it'll just get pizza soup in there. Now, if the cooking temperature is real high, that may not be a problem. It's just that when the pizza comes out of the oven, you can lay it down on your pizza pan that you're going to cut on and just take some paper towel and let it drop on top of the pizza and just press down with your fingers and absorb all that water. Don't serve it like that. Absorb the water off the top of the pizza. And and usually it'll turn out okay, and then you cut it and serve it. So don't serve a fucking pizza with a bunch of fucking water on top
of it. A lot of times, though, if we're putting a lot of mushrooms on there, sometimes we saute them.
Yeah, that's what I was getting. Next step, if you're going to have like a mushroom pizza and you want it loaded with a bunch of mushrooms, don't put raw mushrooms on the pizza and cook it. Okay, it'll swamp. All right. What you do is just melt some butter in a pan and saute those mushrooms, and they'll release the water in terms of as water vapors. They'll dry a little bit. So get the water out. And then put it on the pizza as a topping. So pre-cooked toppings on any pizza are more forgiving.
Yeah, so especially watery.
Right.
Like watery vegetables and stuff.
As you add toppings to a pizza, getting it on and off the peel onto the stone becomes more and more difficult. Because when you're putting the peel into the oven and you're using English to fucking slide that pizza off, pap, you gotta snap it, and then pull back. All right, you'll see people doing it. There's whole tutorials how to do it. If there's a bunch of toppings, they go flying off the fucking pizza down the back of the oven and fucking start smoking and burning.
We speak from experience. Yep.
So another way to do it is you have the stone on the rack and it's fucking hot. It's been in there forever. All right, just throw a dough that has sauce and a little bit of cheese on it onto the pizza. That's easy to deal with. Close it, let it cook for a few minutes. Open the oven back up, pull it out, top it.
Yeah.
And then throw the rack back in there and then shut it. That way you didn't try to get that pizza onto that stone with all those toppings on there. Topped it after it was already in place. That's a safe way of doing it.
Because, man, one time we made this pizza and we weren't really thinking about that. It had like chunks of chicken on it, had artichoke hearts on it. It had like all this stuff. And we were trying to like put it on the stone, and like shit kept falling off in the bottom of the oven that it was smoking.
Yeah, well, what happened is I tried to sling a fully loaded pizza onto the fucking stone like that, and all the toppings just went off the fucking back.
Yeah, we tried to be too
and cool. All those fucking expensive toppings just being ruined and shit and falling down onto the bottom of the fucking stove.
Set off the smoke alarm.
Off the fucking goddamn smoke alarm. And all I had to do, I wasn't really thinking, all I had to do is just put a damn cheese pizza on there.
Yeah.
Let it cook for a few seconds, then top it. And then put,
yeah, because then you can just pull out the rack with your little...
As you add more toppings to that pizza, too, it's heavier. So it's pushing down on the dough, which can mean sometimes it'll push through the little layer of cornmeal or flour that you have on the peel, and water will go, and it'll stick to your stone, to your surface. Okay, I'm working on an island, a kitchen island, which is like a marble... tabletop, countertop in the center of my kitchen. And I'm making it on the fucking counter. You make a pizza on a counter, not on a pan or anything like that. So your counter's got to be clean and you want it to be as hard as possible. Something like, you could do it on linoleum, but you're not really supposed to. It's kind of, linoleum can be kind of, what do you call it?
Porous.
Kind of porous. Yeah. Ideally, you want it to be stone.
Like granite or marble. Yeah.
Because there's no porousness, so things go on and off it real well, and you can sanitize it. So your kitchen tabletops are your surface that you're working with. All right. Now, step one to all that. That's some of the general rules. I think I pretty much covered it. The biggest challenge to making the pizza, the components to making the pizza. Making tomato sauce and sauce is not that difficult. That's the same as any kind of pizza sauces. There's a lot of recipes for it online. It's pretty much the same as spaghetti sauce. It's just, there's less water in it. Okay, you can either reduce it down. You can take pizza sauce and reduce it down. Okay, in other words, just boil it and leave some of the get some of the water out of it. Okay, make it a little thicker and pastier. But you know, we're not talking about totally pasty, just thin, you know.
Not as thin as spaghetti sauce.
A little bit thicker than that. Yeah. Right. You're trying to get water away from dough.
Yeah.
And crust. All right. You don't want, because when you put sauce on top of a raw dough and then you start cooking it, there's a few seconds there where the water from the sauce seeps into the dough. And when it cooks, it gives a layer of gumminess between the crust and the sauce. There'll be like a strip of gum. You don't want that. You want that to be as minimal as possible. There's a bunch of different ways to get to trick that. You can just put a dough with nothing on it, just dough in there, and cook it for a few seconds.
Yeah, some people do that.
And then that'll kind of harden the top surface, pull it back out, then top it with the sauce and the cheese and put it back in. That's another way to do it. That's to prevent that gummy strip. All right. The hardest component to make is the dough. A lot of people are very uncomfortable working with dough. All right. I'm going to get to dough in a second. Let me read the comments. See what's going on. Everybody's saying.
Yeah, and another thing, too, is because Tila kind of brought this up, but pizza sauce, a lot of it is because some people like tangier sauce, some people like slightly sweeter sauce. Like, I kind of like a little bit sweeter, you know, but some people like kind of tangier. I can't really have real tangy pizza sauce because it gives me heartburn. But it's like, so you have to really kind of get into a thing where you have to keep tasting it, really, to get that balance that you want, like between the sweetness and the... And the tanginess.
Yeah, all right. Now, T's saying she likes thin crust. All right, T, if you like a real thin crust, and you don't have a lot, I'm going to teach you a secret. You want a thin crust, but you don't have a whole lot of time to make dough. You can cheat and make a pizza on a Mexican flour tortilla.
Yeah, we've done that before.
As long as you have a stone, it'll be ultra thin and ultra crispy, kind of like...
Yeah, it's like a cracker.
Like, almost like a cracker. And that was real similar... To what Pizza Hut used to use. Was that damn. Basically a big old tortilla.
Yeah, we made them on tortillas. We made them on naan bread.
Yeah.
Which that works too.
You still need a stone.
Yeah.
To get the texture right. You can't cook it on a metal pan. If you're fucking around with metal pans, you're just jerking yourself off. You'll never it'll never
and
be
not
right.
In the fun way.
Not in the fun way. You got to cook on stone. All right. It's a huge difference. All right. Now, the secret, if you're going to try to cheat and cook on a fucking tortilla, which is one of the best cheats, really, or on a piece of naan bread, that works too. All right. It's nowhere near as good as fucking homemade or handmade crust. But for instant crust, I'd rather do that than buy one of those fucking DiGiorno fucking packaged crusts in the pit. Nah, fuck that. That's a waste of money. Just fucking get a goddamn fucking tortilla. Now, if you're going to use a tortilla, you can't put a lot of toppings on it.
Well, yeah.
Can't put a whole lot of you can't put a whole lot of sauce on it because it'll overpower the crust in a way. You'll see if you ever try it. It just makes a fucking real fast, cheap, quick to make pizza. Thin crust pizza. All right. Making dough.
There's making dough.
Making dough. The first thing when making pizza dough is you have to overcome your fear of fucking with dough. Okay. You're going to be using your hands. All right. And you have to get it out of your mind that you shouldn't touch food. No, your hands are clean. You're working in a kitchen.
Well, hopefully.
Your hands are fucking clean because you've been washing your hands. You're going to touch the dough. All right. There's two things you absolutely need. Well, there's three. Okay. Everything in this fucking dough that I'm telling you about, it has to be exactly the same always. You need to get this. You need to get some dry yeast. You can get these. You need yeast. All right. And it's better just to buy them in these big fucking containers.
That's Fleischmann's.
Yeah. You can make bread and do all kinds of stuff with these yeast like this. You need yeast. After the yeast is open, okay, this is just in like a foil bag, pour the rest of the yeast into a jar or something that's clean, close it and put it in refrigerator door. Keep the yeast cold, okay? You can also pour it into a Ziploc bag and put it into the, don't leave it exposed though in your refrigerator. All right, so you need yeast. You also need water, and the water should be filtered. If you have those little bread of water filters, filter out the water. And there's a certain kind of bread certain kind of flour you need. Fucking all-purpose flour, it's never going to be right.
It works, but it's not as good.
And you have to know what you're doing.
Yeah.
And the ratios change. That's a very thin flour. It's not real high gluten. It's a weak flour, which means that you have to use a lot of the flour versus the water ratio. And even when it ferments, because we're going to do retarded fermentations, but I'm going to talk about it in the cookbook. it'll never have the consistency. A pizza dough is supposed to be strong enough to support the pizza, and then by the time you get to that crust and you pull on it, it's crisp on the outside, and in the center it's kind of chewy. It's like a chewy bread, all right? And that's what you need, all right? That's how you do it. And the flour that you use is heavy bread flour. That's the one you got to have. And it's hard to find that. Actually, Publix carries it. I used to be able to get it in 20-pound bags. But
that's Sam's, but for some reason. I guess it doesn't sell much, so they don't have it.
Yeah, heavy bread flour. That's for making heavy bread. All right.
Not that pussy bread.
Not yeah. You need a big bowl. Big bowl. Okay. Big metallic bowl. You have to have all this equipment, and you need a spatula or a rubber egg flipper or a rubber spatula. You put in a cup of warm water. All right. Filtered water. You put that in there. You put two tablespoons of sugar into that warm water and stir it. And then 2 tablespoons of yeast. And let it sit in there for about 20 minutes, 30 minutes, and it'll kind of foam. Stir it every now and then. It'll start to foam. It'll smell a little bit like beer. When you smell that, it's ready. Okay? And that's a cup. Then you put in 2 cups of water into that, which will kind of thin it out a little bit. All right? And then put about a tablespoon of salt in that and stir it. What that's going to do is that's going to kill some of that yeast off in there. And the more salt you add to it, the chewier the bread will end up being. That it kind of affects texture, I've noticed. All right. Once that's done, slowly mix in 6 cups of that heavy bread flour into that bowl of three cups of water that you have in there. Wait a minute. Hold on. Is it 3? No, it's 2. Yeah, it's 3 cups. So 6 cups, 2 at a time. Put 2 cups in there. Stir it. And then 2 more cups, stir it. 2 more cups, stir it. By the time you get to the end of that last cup of dough, it starts to pull itself together. It gets hard to fold it over, but just keep folding it. And then take some olive oil and pour it around the outside of that big old ball of damn dough. And use that rubber spatula and go around that bowl and bring the oil underneath the dough and then just roll, and then the dough comes free of the bowl, and you can reach in there and turn it around and you can knead it, and then just let it sit there in a warm room or in a warm oven that's turned off. Maybe you have a towel over it or something, you know, to keep the top of the dough from drying out, and let it rise, and you know, every half hour or so go in there and knead it back down, and it'll rise back again, and it'll knead it back down, and then it'll rise again. And that shit'll go on for 3-4 hours, 5 hours. And then take the damn dough, scoop it out of the damn bowl with your hand, and put it in a big old Ziploc bag, big gallon Ziploc bag. Pour in some olive oil. Slosh it around. Make it so it's free from the plastic bag. Close it a little bit. Put it in the refrigerator. And let it sit in there overnight. Keep an eye on it. It'll blow up. And then you'll try to knock some of the air out of it. But once it cools off, it'll stop rising. And it's going to sit in there and ferment overnight. All right? If you were to cook it instantly, the texture would not be right. You want to get it at least the next day. The day after that, even better. Well, I've just told you how to make enough dough for probably about, depending on the size of the pizza, maybe about 3 large pizzas, maybe like 4 or 5 medium ones, or a bunch of little small ones. So that's quite a bit of dough. Now, when it comes time to make a pizza, you go to your working surface, which is for me an island. I get a bowl. All right. Now I got in my pantry, I would take those 25-pound bags of flour and pour them into a big clean bucket, big plastic bucket with a lid on it. Okay. And the ones that I got, the buckets, they were actually started off as cat food buckets that had dry cat food in them. And once the cat food went done, I just sanitized it, washed it out. It's just a generic bucket. Okay. So I pour all the bread into the bucket. That's how you do it in a restaurant. So when you need flour, you open up the top of the bucket, you take just a regular bowl, a soup bowl, and scoop up some flour and put some, it could be general, at this point, it can be any kind of flour because the dough's already made. You're just going to use the flour as like something to help lubricate the dough. Pour a little amount, maybe like a half a cup of flour. If you got this much dough, a lot of this shit's by eye and experience. If you've got a ball of dough this big, it's going to take about a half a cup of that flour on there. You put the ball of dough in half a cup of flour, and you turn the ball around it, and you're going to actually cover that ball with flour. And then once it's totally covered, you're going to squash down on it and take a rolling pin and roll it out into a circle. That's the easiest way to do it. Okay. Once it's rolled out into a circle, fold the edges over the top to make a crust. Sprinkle some, what do you call it, cornmeal on the top of it. And then pick it up and flip it upside down. And it'll take guts to do that if you've never done it before, because you're going to stretch it, you're going to fuck it all up. But you get the hang of flipping the dough over. If you flip the dough over and it falls apart, you fucked up the dough. It should have enough strength to do that.
Yeah.
It should be strong and stretchy. Okay. Once you flip it over, you now got the fucking thing, and then you start top to put some sauce on it, maybe some cheese, pick it up with your peel like I told you about, and put it on the hot stove. That there it is, 15 minutes. You can add toppings to it later. That's how it's done. Now, when you go to make your first dough and you make your first pizzas, you're going to fuck it up. You're going to fuck it up. You just cannot. Me as an experienced cook trying to make pizza, I fucked it up for at least 6 months.
Yeah, because I remember like you going through a lot of the...
You have to learn.
Perfecting.
You have to learn.
Stuff.
I mean, you get a pizza made, but you're not satisfied with it.
Sorry, Armand's asking what I'm drinking. It's iced coffee with almond milk in it.
You'll get the pizza made. You're just not going to be very satisfied with it.
Yeah.
You need all the little skills about handling dough, aging dough, how long the dough should age. It's written down online, but reading it and understanding it is very different from doing it with your hands. And I tried to do shortcuts at first, like it probably doesn't really have to be cooked on stone. Yes, it does. Every time you cook it on metal, it fucked it up. Fucked it up. Just the texture would be totally wrong. It's a pizza. But the dough would be like stale as a piece of cardboard. It had like a cardboard texture to it. That's the difference.
I think sometimes too, if you cook it on metal, it seems like it burns it on the bottom.
Yeah.
It dries the bottom out.
Yeah, and it never rises properly because it's not cooking by induction. There isn't enough mass and enough heat in a piece of metal, you know what I mean, to suck the heat out of the metal into the dough at a high rate of speed to get that damn crispy outside with a chewy inside. That doesn't happen.
Yeah.
And if you tried to cook it on cold steel, Leonard, was you had the thing made in the pizza pan and put it in a hot oven, it'll be even worse. The way I told you to do it is the only way it's done, because that's the way pizza was fucking made. It was made in a kiln, and they were putting it in a hot kiln on the stone bottom of a kiln. That's how it was done.
Yeah.
And that's why it comes out that way.
Yeah, and that's like the best way to make it.
Yeah.
Like I said, you can make it other ways, and
it will always be
okay, it's not going to be as good. I mean, it's a big difference.
Well, I got standards. They don't even come out okay. It's not even okay. It's just like unacceptable.
Yeah, because like Tom is like not... If he makes something and everybody else like says it's good, but he doesn't think it's good, he's just like, no.
No, it's either great or it's just fucking unacceptable. There is no mediocrity. You know, if it's mediocre, then it's shit.
Yeah.
Okay.
He has very high standards.
Yeah. If you don't have a stone and you don't have these fucking skills, like I told you, your only other option is a pan pizza out of a cast iron pan. And it must be cast iron.
Yeah, those come out very good too.
Yeah. And you'll recognize that. You go, yeah, that's a pan pizza. Yeah, that's what that is.
Yeah.
It's because that cast iron can get hot enough and actually conduct heat properly to get that. Now there's another problem with pan pizza. Because pan pizza is forgiving and easy to make, because you're assembling it inside of the pan, a bitch will get greedy and start putting it. Bitches get greedy. They start putting too many goddamn toppings in the fucking pizza just because you can. Fuck it. Let's go ahead. Let's fuck it.
There's still room.
Put that in there too. So what ends up happening is when the moisture gets released, it swamps.
Yeah, you pull it out.
And yeah, you pull it out. It's boiling.
The lake in the middle of the pizza.
All right. Even if you do that in a pan pizza, man, saute the toppings. Get the water out of them first. Okay, that'll really make a more forgiving conditions inside the pan pizza. All right. There's another weird problem is that the sauce is at the bottom. Okay, so in that heat, the vapors from the sauce can't really escape normally because they've been sealed in by the cheese. So the parts of the crust boil instead of bake. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
So some places back in Chicago, instead of putting the sauce at the bottom, they put the cheese at the bottom.
Yeah.
All right. They put the cheese at the bottom, then they put some toppings, then they put a little bit of sauce on the top of it.
Yeah. Yeah, I've seen some done like that.
They'll do it that way.
Yeah.
And when it cooks, the sauce does kind of seep down through the toppings, but because there's a certain amount of time involved, it didn't swamp.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about? Some of the moisture cooked away as it kind of settled in. So you do have toppings on it when it comes out, but you don't see all that cheese. Some people will add cheese on top of that and cook it for a couple more minutes. You know what I'm talking about? Towards the end. That way, when you look at it, you see cheese. But there's cheese at the top and the bottom.
Yeah.
Now, you're talking about some serious fucking calories.
Well, you know, more cheese is always delicious.
And yeah. Now, some people might ask about what kind of cheese. In general, when you go to your average pizzeria, what they're using is partial skim milk mozzarella. It's acceptable.
Just like you buy at the grocery store. Right.
But that's not ideal. Ideal, you want real fresh mozzarella, also known as buffalo mozzarella. It comes in a cake about this big, and it's usually pre-sliced. You just take the cake. Okay, well, I'm trying to remember the name. The cake is usually vacuum packed in clear plastic. Sometimes it's one cake and two cakes.
Yeah, I think Sam's has like the two cakes, and yeah. I think it's $8.99 or $9.99 or something like that for two of them.
Yeah, so that means you're $4 of cheese per pizza.
Yeah.
So it's expensive, but that's really good cheese. That's the cheese that stretches, all right,
mm-hmm.
when you eat it. It cooks the right way. It gives a chewiness that you only had back in the 70s and in the early 80s. When I was a kid going to pizzeria, went to places like Round Table Pizza and stuff, even Pizza Hut, they were using buffalo mozzarella cheese. It gave that nice stretch and chewiness to it. But then they cheapened it. They used partial skim milk mozzarella. It's a big difference, but it's okay. Do not fucking put expensive cheese on a pizza that you know you're going to fuck up. And you're going to be fucking up. You're going to be fucking up. You're going to fuck up until you figure this out. So use partial skim milk until you get good at it. Don't fucking waste good ingredients on something that you haven't mastered yet. Okay. That's my advice there. When you're dealing with a cake of mozzarella, it's pre-sliced. Don't worry about grating it. Just pull the thing apart in the slices and break the slices into pieces and put on top of the pizza. When it melts, it gets very liquidy, so it spreads out pretty well. But then as soon as it starts to cool, it starts to coagulate and become chewy. It's got the best flavor. Yeah.
Yeah. And I was going to say, too, that if you want to get kind of creative with it, we've done pizzas with different kinds of cheese, too. We've made one with cream cheese on it, which was good. We've made one with, did we make one with goat cheese or blue cheese or something?
I don't remember.
I think we did
a blue
cheese.
We've used a bunch of different kinds of cheeses. I've used even Philadelphia cream cheese
with
certain kinds of pizzas. And it works. It never browns. It does give a different dynamic. There's also things called white pizzas, and white pizzas don't have tomato sauce.
Yeah.
It's just,
I love white pizza.
It's usually some, yeah, I make a lot of those too. So it'd be like a white pizza with nothing but like olive oil that's been, you know, with garlic and spices. And then you put fresh basil on it, sauteed onions, maybe some special sauteed chicken breast toppings that I was using. That's another that's another subject in itself. And then sliced tomatoes.
Yeah, I like
sun-dried tomatoes.
I like a white pizza with like slices of tomatoes.
And then a bunch of spinach.
And some spinach, yeah.
A bunch of spinach that's been mixed up with different kinds of cheese, like mozzarella cheese with and then you can use little bits of Philadelphia cream cheese as like an additional topping. Now, Amanda, I think Amanda said don't use mozzarella with your pizza. Don't use buffalo mozzarella
like
with your pizza.
Like fresh mozzarella, yeah.
I've used it, not fresh mozzarella that I made, but I've used it. If it made your pizza soggy, maybe it's because your cooking temperature wasn't right. It should melt like all the rest of them. It should get pretty melty. But then when it cools, it re-solidifies. And mozzarella's can brown. Some cheeses don't brown, but mozzarella's do. But as far as the buffalo mozzarella cakes that you can buy, you use those. They're good. Yeah, it works.
Yeah, we've used it before. Yeah. I mean, usually we get the partial skim just because
it's cheaper. You can make more pizzas. Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, I always prefer the little cakes that you get like at Sam's or Costco. Yeah. But it's just so expensive that we don't
like you said,
get
you're
it.
Making, yeah, it's $4 in cheese, just in cheese on a pizza.
Yeah, that's only two pizzas worth of cheese there. And that's like, you know, $10.
Once you have all your skills to make your own, make all your skills and everything you need to make pizzas paid for and out of the way, you're making your own doughs and you're making your own sauces and stuff. You're like your own pizza sauce. I can get the price of a large pizza down to probably about $1.
Yeah, I mean, depending on what you're about put on it. But yeah, I mean, it's a big initial investment for all the stuff, like the stone and the peel and all that kind of stuff. But once you get it all figured out, like the ingredients for it are actually pretty cheap. They're unless cheap. You're putting fancy ass shit on it.
That's the reason why pizzeria and pizzas are so... they're so successful in the United States is because it's high profit.
Yeah.
If it's done right.
Yeah.
You can make a large pizza for about $1.
Yeah.
And sell it for fucking 10.
Yeah, yeah. It's a big markup. You know what I mean? I mean, obviously, like, look at people like Little Caesars and shit like that. They sell those fucking pizzas for $5. You know what I mean?
Right.
If you pick them up. But I wanted to say something, too. I'm not sure if, like, people that aren't from the U.S., but what one of the big things about American pizza is particularly the rivalry between New York style pizza and Chicago style pizza. Now, other places have other kinds of pizzas too. Like, I think like fucking St. Louis has its own kind of pizza. It's like, you know, everywhere has their own kind of pizza. But the big thing is like, because Chicago, they do more of like a deep dish kind of shit. So sometimes like New Yorkers will say that's not a pizza, it's a casserole. Or, you know, something like that. Whereas New York, they tend to do not real thin crust, but like kind of a floppy, foldable piece.
Yeah, Dario's mentioning that too. He's talking about what he likes in pizza. Yeah, pizza, there's different types of pizza, different regional versions. Chicago, New York pizza. There's a lot of rivalry between the types of pizza. But really what makes pizza unique, or what makes a pizza unique, or what makes a pizza very good, is the damn texture. And most of the shit that I'm trying to tell you, it doesn't have anything to do with flavor. It's about texture. If the texture's wrong, the pizza will be shit.
Yeah.
Pizza's all texture. Yeah. And that's what I learned by trial and error. You can have the best fucking ingredients, the best shit, and if it's wrong, it tastes like shit. Not because of the taste or the ingredients. It's because the fucking texture's wrong.
Yeah. And I mean, the thing about it, I was going to say that it's like, you know, deep dish, thin crust, regular crust.
Yeah.
It's all good. I don't really have a preference. It just kind of depends on whatever mood I'm in that day. Sometimes I'm like, oh, deep dish sounds good. Sometimes thin crust sounds good. You know, and like I said, I'll eat pretty much any toppings. I can't eat pepperoni anymore because like I said, heartburn, but, I tend to like more on the veggie side. I like meat on there. I like hamburger on there, but I don't like real spicy meats on there. So I tend more toward, you know, onions, mushrooms, tomatoes, like big hunks of tomato, stuff like that. Spinach is good on there. Like I said, the white pizza, actually there's a pizza place right around the corner from Ibar, and that's open all the time, as far as I know. And they actually do a really nice white pizza with chunks of tomato and spinach on it. That's actually pretty decent.
So let me go over again real quick the rules. Water is the enemy of pizza. At all stages. At all stages of production. Okay. Pizza must be cooked on a stone or cast iron. It just has to. Cooking temperature is as high as possible. Cooking time is as low as possible. The best New York pizza started at Lombardi's. It's a place down in New York. And evidently, it ain't shit compared to what it was back in the day. But New York pizza and pizza in general in the United States was born in Lombardi's. And Lombardi's, the reason why Lombardi's was a pizzeria is because it was a kiln before it was a restaurant. And they were in there, they were doing something with porcelain. I think they just made porcelain pots and shit. And then it changed hands, became a pizzeria. Some Italians took it over. And they introduced pizza. Now, it wasn't exactly the same pizza that you know, but it was that same dough and that same type of crust. And that oven was like 1,000 degrees at all times. It never cooled down. It burned all the way throughout the night. It wasn't even worth it to fucking let the oven cool off. It took too long. So they just kept that coal fire going for like 100 years, I would do.
They never put it out.
Never put it out. Okay. And I think the cooking time on one of their pizzas was like some amazingly low, like 3 or 4 minutes.
Yeah.
And when it came out, it was crispy and chewy and had burnt high spots on it. And it was just, that was like the perfect New York pizza. It was not the pizza that you really know today. I mean, they weren't even really round. They were more like oval. Because they threw them in there so fast.
Yeah.
They had different kind of toppings. It was more like focaccia in a certain way. It might have olive oil on it and some tomatoes.
Which is more like it was back in Italy.
Yeah. And then maybe they added a piece of cheese later. There was red, white, and green on them. And that was because that was the colors of the Italian flag.
Yeah.
It's that simple. You know. That's why it did it.
Yeah.
And it spread from there. Italian gangsters made it famous. A lot of people don't know. Al Capone had a lot to do with the success of pizza.
Yep.
Al Capone liked Chicago pizza, which was kind of like what you would call as a hand-tossed pizza, or a deep dish, which was like a cast iron pan.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. You didn't need a sophisticated oven to do that. All right. When Al Capone became kind of like a criminal superstar, they couldn't get anything pinned on him. He hung out in bars that sold pasta, pizza, Chicago deep dish pizza, and booze. But they sold the booze illegally, but they were selling it there. But he would hang out there and have meetings and people would come see him. And the newspapers came in there one day and said that he was eating an exotic Italian dish called pizza, and they asked him about it, and he said, you know, I don't remember exactly what it was, but he said, paraphrasing, he said it was the perfect food because you could eat it for breakfast, lunch, or dinner, and it was an entire meal just all in one pan.
He was ahead of his time.
Well, because he said that, everybody wanted to know what this fucking strange Italian dish that these fucking famous gangsters were eating, and that made pizza famous.
Which is hilarious when you think about it.
Yeah.
Just like one famous dude that was like, and, well, it's hilarious to us now because pizza seems like such a quote unquote American food because everybody fucking eats it.
Not in those days.
But back in those days, well, shit, man, like I said, we've talked about this before, but we've had like really old like recipe books where spaghetti and meatballs and stuff like that was seen as like some exotic foreign food.
And they had to explain to you what oregano was.
Right.
And they would say oregano is like a very exotic Italian herb, and you can get it in certain specialty stores and shit. And what was funny is that would be the only herb in it.
Yeah.
Salt, pepper, I think a little salt, pepper, and oregano. That's what was in the tomato sauce. Just that.
Which I can't imagine that. I mean, that must have been like super bland.
Yeah, real bland.
Which it didn't even.
But they didn't. I think things were kind of bland then.
They were, I guess. Well, at least here, like I said, until all the good people immigrated and were kind of like, hey, here's some good food with spices in it. Get your shit together.
I really don't think that's what it was. What I think that was availability.
That too, yeah.
They didn't have a distribution center for any of that. So because they couldn't distribute it, people didn't know about it.
Yeah.
And because they didn't know about it, they didn't request it. There was no market for it. It wasn't until people were exposed to things, or you had companies that had the ability to deliver things to the far reaches of the United States, and they had good things to sell, so they had to let people know about them.
Yeah.
One of the ones I'm thinking about would have been Heinz. The Heinz company was one of the first like real mass marketing companies. They had direct salesmen that went to all these little mom-pa stores and all these little, what do you call them, like general stores. And they would introduce themselves to the store owner and they said, you know, we're a food company. And if you agree to work with us, we'll come in and we'll bring a shelf aisle, a special aisle for our products and our products only. And you'll get a cut of the profits. And we'll deliver it. We'll handle all the stock. Don't worry about it. You just sit back, ring up the cash register, and you'll make money. So Heinz was really the first big corporation that on a nationwide level tried to distribute food everywhere. And the reason why they were able to do it, this is pre-refrigeration, and they were able to do it because all their stuff was basically pickled.
Yeah.
It was pickled and jarred, and some of it was canned. And it was meat and vegetables, both. But what was weird is that their definition of what a vegetable was would not be recognizable by you. Ketchup was a vegetable.
Yeah.
Mayonnaise was like a meat. Okay. And fucking mustard was a vegetable. And pickles were a vegetable.
Well, pickles started out as a vegetable.
And that all sounds familiar because that's your condiments.
Yeah.
And in the 1800s, those were considered to be vegetables.
Yeah.
That was some high-tech shit. It was like pureed vegetables that you didn't need to refrigerate that would last for a long time. Stuff that had eggs in it. And you could put it on meat, which eventually gave birth to the hamburger.
Yeah.
Which is also considered to be foreign at the time, which a lot of people don't know that. Hamburgers were not considered to be American when they appeared. They were considered to be kind of German because it was Hamburg beef.
Yeah.
They were from Hamburg. Ground beef in a damn dinner roll with some pickles and some sauteed onions and some vegetables from Hunt's or Heinz, which meant ketchup, mustard, mayonnaise. And it was a company called White Castle. That was the first hamburger. Well, it was funny. People think that, well, McDonald's or no, hamburgers were something that were made at home. It was traditional. No, hamburgers came from White fucking Castle. All right. And they had to hire doctors to stand outside of them and tell people that they were safe to eat. People were like, they wouldn't eat that shit. And they put them outside factories. So the factory workers, and they had a whole campaign to convince factory workers that this was safe, nutritious food that had meat and vegetables and bread all in a single meal, and you could afford to eat it.
And you could carry it in one hand.
You could carry it. Well, no, they always sold them in a six-pack.
Yeah, they were in this. Well, because we have that, too, but it's Crystal.
Yeah.
Ours are called Crystal. With a K.
Yeah. So, yeah, now we're getting off the subject of pizza, though.
Yeah, we'll have to do a whole burger episode one of these days. But yeah, so was there anything else you needed to say about pizza? You went like pretty in-depth into like how to make
it. Daria says it hurts somewhere in the South they deep fry pizza. Man, they would deep fry anything in the South, man.
Yeah, I've never seen it, but it wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah, but deep fried ice cream, deep fried Mars bars.
They do that in Scotland as well. All deep fried Mars bars.
Yeah.
That actually kind of sounds good. Well, deep fried anything sounds pretty good, gotta say. Yeah. But yeah, I even like a corn dog every now and then.
Okay, are there any guys have any questions about dough or anything about pizza? You can put it in the comment section.
Yeah, do
it. Oh, T says, man, her stomach grumbling for pizza.
At least it's good that we, you know, eat before we do the show. So then I'm not like sitting there making myself hungry. Like I said, we didn't have pizza today. We had brisket.
You're talking about anchovies on pizza. I never liked it.
Yeah, I'm not a fan. I like fish in general, but anchovies, it's just too much. I'm not hating on you if you do like that, but it's just, I don't know. I'll eat, like I said, pretty much any kind of pizza topping, but anchovies,
What's a shame is that...
I'd rather not.
What's a shame is that the era of the big ma and pa family-owned pizzeria seems to be gone. I don't know why. I guess it's a lost skill. Maybe it's not energy efficient. You can't get enough people to go in and out of there. Could be that pizza has kind of a low-end image nowadays. Like, oh, why would I go in there and spend all this money when I can get that at, you know, in 5 minutes coming out of Pizza Hut? You know, it might be something like that. But some of the mom-pa pizzerias that I grew up with in California, man, were fantastic, and you'll never really be able to buy those again. You have to fucking make that at home. And you really got to know what you're doing to replicate how good pizza used to be. It's not as good as it was. It used to be much better.
Although the thing about it is that I think if you want like really good pizza out, you're going to have to go to like sort of a boutique, you know, kind of fancy pizza place that actually makes everything from scratch.
Yeah, although sometimes that sucks too. Like Pizzeria Uno would be considered that, and I hate their pizza.
I liked their shrimp pizza. They had like a shrimp pizza that was not too bad, but that was a long time ago that I ate that.
The best chain pizza I remembered from back in the day was old school. Round Table Pizza was really good out in California. The old school original California Chuck E. Cheese. And that was a location out in California. It was an arcade. They had a pizzeria in there that was fantastic. That's not what they're serving on a nationwide level. But
well, no, obviously.
The original one? Oh, man. Yeah, that was good. Really good. There was a really good mom-pa Italian place called Fiorito's. I think it was might have been in Long Beach or in that area. I don't know if it exists anymore. Probably not. But that place was fucking amazing. And that was real Italians working in there. And the entire wall to the kitchen was plexiglass, so you could see what they were doing in there. And it was like 10 dudes just making pizzas. And the place was always packed. Fucking beautiful pizza. And the only other pizzas ever close to those old school shit or that I get nowadays are the ones I make.
Yeah.
Because I'm kind of doing it similar to the way they did. There are still certain things that they did that I don't know how the fuck they did. I can remember what it tasted like. I can remember how it smelled. I can't really quite replicate it. They did it differently. They made really big pizzas, which tells me that they had a huge peel and they had a big old fucking oven. We cut slices. You know what I'm talking about? Like triangular slices out of pizza. They didn't do that. They cut it in a grid.
Some places square. Still do that. Yeah.
They're like square pieces in the middle and stuff. They cut it in a grid. As far as chains go right now, probably if you were talking about corporate chains, the best pizza places right now would probably be like Papa John's. Although some people hate Papa John's. I think it's the best one.
I like their sauce the best. I mean, it's like none of them are fantastic, but... Yeah. If you just want a pizza quick, like delivered to your house,
I would pick that one.
They're all decent. I think I like Papa John's sauce the best.
Yeah, I like all of their. I just like the pizza in general the best.
Yeah,
it's better than a lot better. Okay, Pizza Hut is fast, and you know exactly what it is that's coming, but it's super super generic.
Yeah,
it's nowhere near as good as it was when I was a kid. When I was a kid, Pizza Hut was fucking awesome. It was good.
Well, it was a sit-down restaurant.
It was expensive.
You went in there and there was like a jukebox and you get a big pitcher of beer and like...
Yeah. It was good. And you walked in there and just smell the place. T probably remembers because I was out in California. Out in California, when you sat down there, man, that place fucking smelled great. But it started to decline. It started to become kind of more like a buffet. You could pay all you could eat, and then they'd have fucking pizzas out in the middle of the thing, and then it started to go the way of like CeCe's.
Well, yeah, CeCe's is a pizza buffet.
Yeah, and then they kind of rebooted it and went, no, we're like the Italian Burger King. That's what it became now, like Burger King, the Burger King of pizza.
Yeah, it's just everything's just, you know, quick and cheap. Which, like I said, if you don't feel like making a pizza, because, you know, it is a time commitment, obviously, like making a pizza. You got to make the dough a couple days ahead. You got to make the sauce, which has to cook for a while and stuff like that. So I can understand just ordering it. And we do it every now and then. But It's just never as good as the ones you make. And like I said, I still fondly remember when I was a kid getting pizza from Pantheon, getting that hamburger and onion pizza. And again, yeah. it was like that big.
Yeah.
And it was not, like I said, the meat wasn't real spicy, but it was just like a big, it had a really, really nice crust on it. It was just like a really nice flavor.
Yeah.
And I don't even know if that fucking place is there anymore.
T's in there tripping out over to British people. Mango's in there talking about putting big beans on pizza. Fucking T's going, big beans on pizza? Y'all crazy. Yeah, man. British people are fucking crazy.
I saw corn niblets on pizza over there, so.
They're not the only ones that are crazy, though, because.
The Japanese also put corn niblets
Brazilians,
on pizza.
Brazilians do fucking crazy shit with pizza, too. They don't really know what they're doing.
And we just put whatever shit on it.
Brazilian pizza's almost steamed. It's like shit. Or at least it used to be. You know, your real common ones.
They didn't have a crisp crust.
It was just like a doughy bullshit. And they'd have fucking chickpeas on the damn pizza and fucking green peas on the damn and sliced hearts of palm. Just cheap shit that Brazilians have in cans. You know, they put that on a pizza. It just tastes like shit. But they did have some places that could execute good pizza. They didn't have pepperoni, though. They had something called calabresa, which is like pepperoni, kind of. Not quite as spicy. So we used to get that calabresa pizza, and it was like close to like a slice of, kind of like New York pepperoni pizza, kind of. The texture was correct. That's the reason why I liked it. It did not taste like pepperoni, though. Similar, but you could tell the difference.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was more kind of like cured ham.
Which, nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, but I don't remember it as being a sausage, though.
Yeah.
It was like a cured ham.
Well, like I said, you can get, you can get like Hawaiian quote unquote pizza here that has like chunks of ham and pineapple on it. And, nothing like that. Amanda said, last time I ordered Pizza Hut, my dog ate the pizza and I ate the breadsticks. The thing about pizza, I kind of feel like, I don't know what it is. I think Pizza Hut puts too much shit on the pizza. There's just too much shit on there. You know what I mean? It's too heavy. I don't know.
It depends on what you get.
That's true. I mean,
Like
I said, I'm not going to turn it down if it's free. But
they'll put whatever you want to put on a damn pizza,
When I like pizza with like a thin layer of sauce and a bunch of cheese. I don't like a bunch of soupy sauce on there.
Yeah.
I just like a little bit of sauce and a bunch of cheese.
Yeah, that's another thing is that when you're new to making pizza, you have a tendency to, like I said before, getting fucking greedy. Oh, I'll put more. Oh, I'll put more. It'll be even better. Nah. Less is more on a pizza, always.
Yeah, I mean, kind of keep it simple.
There's a maximum amount of shit you can put on a pizza. Once you reach a certain amount, you can't put any more. It just starts to get worse. So, if you're going to make something like a Supreme pizza that has a whole lot of stuff on it, or a whole lot of different things, there can't be very much of each one. And
yeah.
And it kind of goes against your intuition. Like, that's not a lot of fucking olives. I said, well, that'll be a lot of olives once you put it up, once you realize how much all those other toppings you got.
Once you put 40,000 other toppings.
Yeah, it's going to all add up, So, yeah, it's I kind of like to stay away from Supreme type pizzas.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan. It's like, really, I don't like, I like, a couple of toppings.
Yeah,
two or three tops.
Right.
More toppings than that, you're just like...
You're asking for trouble because you're going to have an olive, but only have like maybe one olive a slice. Because there has to be a couple of pepperonis on it. And then there has to be a couple little pieces of onion. And then there has to be like a couple little pieces of something or other. So the next thing you know, there's a lot of different stuff on each slice, but not a lot of it. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. And I feel like the more shit you put on there, it's like you can't really taste,
any
of the individual components.
Right. There has to be, there's like one little olive on your slice.
Yeah.
But if you had 20 on there, then the whole thing would soup out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, frankly, like when you make pizza for me, I'm just kind of like, I like mushroom and maybe some bell pepper on it. And then that's about it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's good like that. You can taste all the individual components.
Oh, another thing I forgot to say is that pepperoni on a home pizza. If you can go down to Publix and get a little package of the pre-sliced pepperoni at pretty much any of these
grocery stores. Yeah.
But if you have a Sam's account
or Costco,
you get a much better deal. You can get a package of two big bags this big for like about $8. And that's really only the price of a couple of the little small ones. And you take that, and you can put that in the freezer. It'll freeze indefinitely. You can top the pizza with that, make a shit ton of pizza. That's what I was saying, you know, my pizzas only end up being about a dollar. It's like a dollar worth of stuff on it.
Yeah.
That's it. Because you buy everything in bulk. That's why you want to get yeast in bulk. You don't want those
just
little
like
ones. Because this is only a couple bucks.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that'll make a lot of stuff.
Well, shit, yeah. Because to make the dough, to make enough dough for like two or three big pizzas, you only need what? Like a couple tablespoons of that, right? Yeah. So, yeah. It lasts a long time.
Yep.
All right. So you don't talk about pizza?
I'm done talking about pizza.
See, you've been going at somebody in the comments said on the show yesterday and said you found your calling because it's like you actually stayed on one single topic for more than an hour, which you did today, too.
Damn.
Talking about food, see?
And I'm sleepy, too.
And you're sleepy, too. I think you did good.
See, not only did I bring all this shit back where I got like the fucking testosterone levels of fucking three fucking 15-year-old boys.
Oh, now it's three? I thought it was three yesterday.
No, every time I talk about it, there's more 15-year-old
boys. There's more of them in here.
There was a fucking side effect I forgot about when you start going backwards in time to become a child again. Not only do you start fucking stinking and shit, your stocks start stinking like you're a little kid and shit. But also, you run real hard, you start aging in dog years where you're fucking sweating all the time, you know, like that. But then all of a sudden, you want to sleep all day.
Yeah.
You have energy, but it was back when I was a teenager, dude. I have all this energy, and then all of a sudden, I'm going to sleep. Yeah, you can, yeah.
They're like teenage boys, and they'll sleep for like fucking 12 hours.
Yeah, sleep for 12 hours. Start doing that. It kind of seems to be happening in a cycle.
Yeah. So every time it's bad because it's like every time it's like afternoon and it's time to live stream or record some stuff. Yeah, and he's just always kind of like.
Yeah. And I already fucking, you know, went on a fucking 2 mile hike and shit. Fucking.
Hey, I did a 3 mile hike with a backpack. A heavy backpack.
I did like a fucking speed fucking run. And I think I'll lift tomorrow. I feel like I'm growing. Growth.
Yeah. Somebody said yeast equals growth.
Yeah. Yeast equals growth.
That's right. We're going to sprinkle some yeast on you.
Sleepy right now.
Well, you can go take a nap now because you did good. We recorded a movie review today and you did like an hour long thing on the thing. Yeah. So, you know, you did good. You can go take a nap. You earned it.
Okay. Yeah.
Shit.
That's funny, man.
All right. So we'll be back tomorrow. Probably tomorrow we'll do a movie review because I can find a new movie tonight. We can talk about that. Because like I said, I don't want to wear out all the food topics, even though these are fun to do. I actually do, but I don't want to get too much out of the movie thing too. But so we'll watch a new one tonight and we can do that tomorrow. So thanks everybody for dropping by, listening to us talking about pizza.
Yeah.
And we'll see you guys again tomorrow. Bye.